now we're holding on Tess Vav Amud Aleph, the ninth line. We started discussing yesterday, like this. We were talking about the ways in which you can acquire an eved ivri. We said one of them is kesef, and we were going through how we know that that applies to all cases of eved ivri. We established that that kesef works for an amah ivriya, where there's only one case where she can be sold, namely her father sells her. But as far as an eved ivri, there's three possibilities: where he's sold by Beis Din, where he sells himself to a yid, and where he sells himself to a goy. So we said where he sells himself to a goy, it's clear from the psukim that he's sold with money. And also when he's sold by Beis Din because he stole and he can't afford to pay back, then also we said it's a svara to say that the same thing should apply. But how do we know when he sells himself because he's poor? That he should be able to sell himself with money. So we said there's a gzeira shava on the word sochir, which equates the one who's sold by Beis Din and the one who sells himself. However, then we said that isn't there a tana who holds that who doesn't hold that gzeira shava sochir, and therefore according to him you're going to have to learn it in a different way. And so the Gemara says that according to him you learn it from the vav of v'chisasi. So we're in the middle of figuring out then. Is there in fact such a Tana who does not hold of that Gzeira Shava? Now, we brought a machloikus of the Chachamim and Rabbi Lozer, or Tosfos seems to have the Girsa Rabbi Eliezer. Anyway, whether a number of the dinim that apply to one of them to apply to the other, you have certain dinim that it says in the Torah in connection with one who sells himself, and other ones that it says in connection with the one who was sold by Beis Din. And we have the Tanakhama holds that the dinim don't necessarily apply across the board, that dinim that apply to one don't necessarily apply to the other, whereas Rabbi Lozer or Rabbi Eliezer says they do. And so we thought that maybe that means the Tanakhama doesn't hold of this Gzeira Shava and Rabbi Lozer does. We said no. Actually, Rabbi Tavyumi is answering that both of them hold of the Gzeira Shava, but the Tanakhama says in the four dinim that he had mentioned, each one of them, there's a miut to say that it should apply to only one kind of Eved and not the other. So in other words, if it had just been for the Gzeira Shava, we would have said they do apply, but because by each one we have a specific miut, then we don't say that. So we went through the fact that the Tanakhama said Moicher Atzmoi could sell himself for more than 6 years. And we showed why the Tanakhama would say that there is that difference, whereas when he's sold by Beis Din, it's specifically 6 years and no more than that. We had the one about Ritzia, about whether you pierce his ear if he wants to stay on beyond the 6 years. Again, the Tanakhama learns that there's a miut in the pasuk. Rabbi Lozer holds that there's not. So now continuing on that. My time at the Tanakhama, the Amma Moicher Atma in Ma'anikin Mai. Why does the Tanakhama say, as far as the third din, that if somebody sells himself, we don't do Ha'anaka? The master is not obligated to give him the various gifts that he gives, that it describes in Parashat Surah A, that he gives when the Eved goes free. Whereas again, Rabbi Lozer is saying that you do. So again, first we thought that was because the Tanakhama doesn't hold of the Gzeira Shava, but now that Rabbi Tavyumi wants to say that they do both hold of the Gzeira Shava, so again, the reason must be because there's some kind of miut. So he says, miut rachmana gabi machru based in hanik tanik loy, because the pasuk says, By the one who was sold by Beis Din, which is the one who is the subject of Parashat Surah A, it says you should give him ha'anaka, you should give him the severance gifts, and the word loy is a miut, loy v'loy l'moicha atzmai. So it means only to him, not to the kind of Eved who sells himself. The idach, so what would Rabbi Lozer answer to that? He would answer, ha'hu mi boile, loy v'loy l'yosho. He would say that the word loy doesn't mean to exclude some kind of eved from getting ha'anaka, but rather it excludes that if the eved dies before his 6 years are up, or before he has a chance to get ha'anaka, then you don't give it to his yoshim. So the Gemara asks, well, why not? Yoshim amai loy. Why indeed shouldn't you have to give it to the yoshim? Socher kari rachmana. After all, the Torah After all, the Torah calls him a socher. The Torah calls him a hired worker, because it says at the end over there, as we looked at the pasuk yesterday, he mishne schar socher avodcha. He's worked for you twice as hard as a regular hired worker. So therefore, we should say the equation is mas socher per loss of the yoshav afhai per loss of the yoshav. Now, what would happen if you hire a regular worker and he dies before you have the chance to pay him? Obviously, you'd have to pay his yoshim for whatever time he worked. So the same way here, you should have to pay for his work, which is accomplished by Hanukkah, to his yoshim. Why indeed should we say that? No. So that can't be. So even Rabbi Lazar is not going to say that the loy comes to exclude giving to his yoshim. Ela loy v'loy l'baal choy. Rather, we can answer that the word loy, the miut of the word loy, is to exclude his baal choy. Meaning, in other words, that suppose that this eved owes money to somebody else. Now, as the Gemara is going to say now, you have the famous Shibuda de Rav Nosson, where if Reuven owes Shimon money, and Shimon in turn owes Levi the same amount of money, or an amount that is included in that, then we take directly from Reuven and give to Levi. So now if the Eved owes somebody else money, you would think that we take the Hanukkah from the Odin and give it directly to the other guy, and we're going to say that it's not the case. So Ela loy v'loy l'baal choyvei. So rather, what he means is, Rebbe Lazar is going to say that the word loy comes to exclude that you don't give the money to his baal choyv. And why do we need to be told that? Midis ridolon ba'al makir Rav Nosson. Given that generally we hold like Rav Nosson, who holds that in a case like this, you do that. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, Amar Rav Nosson, minayin l'noshe b'chaveire mona. How do we know that if Shimon is owed money by Reuven, v'chaveirei b'chaveirei, and Levi in turn is owed a money by Shimon, minayin shemitzien mizev noisnum lazer, how do we know that we take away the money directly from Reuven and give it to Levi? In other words, the point is, as we've learned before, when we've learned this din, the point is, Reuven can't say to Levi, I have no business with you, lav bal dvorim didi at, I'm dealing with Shimon, I'm going to pay Shimon, what's between you and Shimon is none of my business. No, we don't say that, we take the money directly from Reuven and give it to Levi. Talmud loyma, therefore the pasuk says, v'nosan la'asher osham loy, you give the money to the one to whom he is guilty, to the one who, to whom he owns it, to he owes it. So we see, therefore, so that's Shibuda de Rav Nosson. So also loy la'apuki. So now, in this case, the word loy comes to exclude that we don't do that. We just give the Hanukkah directly to the Eved rather than giving it to somebody else. So Rabbi Lazar is going to say, that's what we learn. That's what we learn from the loy where it says that, where it says Hanik Tanik loy. But not to exclude a certain type of eved from receiving Hanukkah, Rabbi Lazar is going to say that all kinds of eved ivri, well, at least when he sells himself to a yid, have to get Hanukkah at the end. Or not sells himself, at least when he's sold to a yid, whether he's sold by Beis Din or whether he sells himself, are going to get Hanukkah. Which the shita loy noy delami, which is a pirush on Masechta Kiddushin from one of the Rishonim of unknown authorship. Anyway, he says, well, Taka, why should that be? If we're saying that we're comparing the Eved Ivri to a Socher, well, after all, if a person was hired for a job and you had the situation, Shibuda de Rav Nosson, we would take his pay and give it directly to his Baal Choyv. Why, Taka, aren't we doing it over here? And he says, because the Gzeira Shava from the word Socher is going to be, we're only going to use it where it's for his benefit, not where it's for his detriment. So to say that we give it to his Yoshim like we would to any other worker, yes, but to say that we should give it to his Baal Choyv, that we're not going to say, says Rabbi Lazar. The Edoch, so what is the Tanakama answer to that? He says, we anyway don't, in other contexts, says the Tanakhama, we don't hold like Rav Nosson. So there's no reason for the Torah to be saying the word loy to tell us in this case, Shibud de Rav Nosson doesn't apply, because according to the Tanakhama, Shibud de Rav Nosson never applies. So we don't need the word loy to exclude that, and therefore we can say that the word loy is excluding a certain type of Eved from receiving Hanukkah in the first place. Now, Tosfos and a number of Rishonim bring up a bit of a difficulty with that. In general, so in many places in Shas, we seem to be taking it as a given that the halacha is like Rav Nosson. On the other hand, here we're saying that only Rav Elazar would agree with Rav Nosson, the Tanakhama would not. Now, Tosfos has the girsa over here, not Rav Elazar, but Rav Eliezer. And in there's very few cases in halacha where the halacha is like Rav Eliezer. In particular, Tosfos says Rav Eliezer shamuti. Rav Eliezer was shamuti, where there's two explanations what the word shamuti means. One is it means that he was a Talmud of Beis Shammai, and we know, of course, the halacha is very rarely like Beis Shammai. And the other is that he was placed in Shamta, which is a form of Nidui, as we know the famous story in Bava Metzia about Tanu Shalachnoi. Whatever the case, it's very rare that the halacha should be like Rav Eliezer. So that would mean here the halacha is like the Chachamim. Well, based on what we're saying over here, if the halacha is like the Chachamim, then that the result is the halacha is not going to be like Rav Nosson as far as Shibudah did Rav Nosson. And Tosfos goes into some discussion about that, whether in fact that's the case. So Tosfos brings up a couple of possibilities. Maybe in fact the halacha is like Rav Nosson. Maybe the halacha is maybe the halacha is like Rav Nosson, and maybe as far as this particular detail, maybe indeed here the halacha is like Rav Eliezer, that both kinds of avodim get hanaka. So as far as the other dinim that he argues with the Tanakhama, maybe not, but maybe as far as this particular one, yes, since the Gemara is tying it with Rav Nosson and the halacha is like Rav Nosson. Tosfos brings another possibility that maybe not. One thing is that, and then Tosfos ends up saying it could be also that there's a difference. We would draw a distinction. We would say Shibud de Rav Nosson maybe applies by other kinds of of debts or schiros or whatever, but maybe specifically not in this case. So maybe we can find a way to make it work. The halacha should be like Rav Nosson in other cases, just that we don't apply that din in this particular case of Evadim. And then different other Rishonim talk about more possibilities, including all of this discussion over here is only according to Rav Tavyumi, who wants to say that both the Tanakhama and Rav Elazar agree with the Gzeira Shava of Sochir Sochir, and it's only the Tanakhama is saying that we don't apply the dinim to both kinds of Eved because we have a miut. But if we don't hold like Rav Tavyumi, if we say that indeed the Tanakhama doesn't hold of the Gzeira Shava, and Rav Elazar does, well then we can say very neatly then in that case we have no reason to say that the Tanakhama's din is going to depend on not accepting Shibud de Rav Nosson, and therefore we can say the Tanakhama would accept it, but he doesn't accept the Gzeira Shava, Socher Socher, and therefore that's why to begin with he says that the dinim don't apply the same to the both of them. So there are ways of making it work. So that takes care of the third item involving Hanukkah. So far we've gone through why it is, according to the Tavyumi, that the Tanakhama would say that the din of a maximum of 6 years applies only to one kind of Eved, only to the one sold by Beis Din, and that the one about being his ear being pierced also only applies to the one sold by Beis Din, and that Hanukkah only applies to the one sold by Beis Din. Now comes the fourth din. My time at the Tanakhama, the Omer Mocher Atzma in Rabbi Moshe Loishikhaknanis. Why does the Tanakhama say that when this Eved sells himself, his master can't give him a Shikhaknanis to bear children with her, who will be Avodim to the master? So again, at first we thought that's because the Tanakhama doesn't hold of the Gzeira Shava. So therefore, he can say that when the Torah says this din in connection with one sold by Beis Din, then it doesn't apply to the other one. Now, Rav Tavyumi is saying that no, they both agree with the Gzeira Shava. So therefore, we need a miut. We need to find a miut that applies only to that tells us that it applies only to the one. So miut rachmana gavi machru Beis Din im adonav of yitan loy isha. Again, you have the Torah says if his master gives to him a wife, namely a shifchaknanis. And again, the word loy is a miut, loy v'loy l'moichan atzloy. So it implies only to him, not to the one who sells himself. V'idach, what would Rav Elazar answer to that? What would he do with the word loy? He would say loy ba'al korchoy. He says, no, the word loy doesn't mean that it applies to only one kind of Eved and not the other. It means That means the master can do it even bal kocha. Even the Eved says, I don't want to be with a shifcha knanis. Nevertheless, the master can force him to do that. The idach, so what would the Tanakhama answer to that? He would say, you don't need the word loy to teach us that. Miki mishna schar sachir nafka. We learn that from the pasuk that it says in Parashas Re'eh that he worked for you double as much as a hired worker, which we talked about this yesterday. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, when it says ki mishna schar socher avodcha, the pasuk says that the Eved Ivri has worked for you twice as much as a regular socher, and therefore the pasuk is saying don't feel bad that you have to let him go after 6 years and that you have to give him hanaka. So you have to ask, so what does that mean? The Braisa says socher ein oved ela bayom means that a regular hired worker would work only by day. Eved Ivri, Oved Ben by Yom or Ben by Laila. The Eved Ivri works by day and by night. Well, we have to ask, what do you mean he works by night? Do you mean in the simple sense that you can have him do, for example, farm work or field work or housework or whatever, day and night? Can't be. Could you possibly think that an Eved Ivri actually works by day and by night in doing jobs around the house or the estate or whatever? The pasuk describes in those psukim in Parashas Re'eh that the Eved may not want to leave because he has it good with you. And we learn from that, from the word imach, we learn imach b'maychel, imcha b'maychel, imcha b'mishne. He has to be equal to you in food and in drink and various other things. Later on Daf Chof, we're gonna talk about this in greater detail. We have the famous din over there that if there's only one pillow, you have to give it to the Eved. The point being, in other words, that you have to treat him on an equal level with you. You yourself are not going to be working in the fields or whatever by night, so you can't make the Eved do that. So what do you mean that he's working by night as well? Tosfos, by the way, mentions that maybe we shouldn't be learning from the pasuk ki tov lo imach, because that pasuk is not saying a tzivui, that he should be working for you, that he should be working on a level equal to you. It's stating a fact that he was good with you. Rather, Tosfos wants to say that that we should be learning from a different pasuk that mentioned the word imach, namely where it says in Parshas Bahar, ad shnasei kesocha kesoshav yeh imach, he should be with you like a hired worker or like a resident worker. So there, it's more clear that the Torah is actually telling you that it should be this way. The point is, so obviously it can't mean that you're having the Eved work for you in the simple sense by night as well. So V'omer Rabbi Yitzchok, so Rabbi Yitzchok explains what it means is Mikan Sherabbi Moisel the Shivcha Knanis. From here we learn that his master can give him a Shivcha Knanis, where then he's working in the sense that he's having relations with her by night in order to bear more avodim. So that's the work that he's doing for his master by night. So the point is, in other words, says Rabbi Lazar. Says the Tanakhama that so from that alone we know that even if the Eved doesn't want it, the master makes him do it. The same way as any other kind of work, the Eved may not want to do, but the master tells him, tough luck, I bought you and you need to do certain kinds of work for me. So this is another one. Therefore, the Tanakhama says, we learn this concept from there. You don't need the word loy to teach us that the master can force him to do it. Therefore, we have the word loy available to teach us that it refers only to the machrur based in and not moicher atzmi. The idach. So what would Rabbi Lazar answer to that? He would say, "Ime hosam." Sure, but if you only have the pasuk kitov leimach, or not kitov leimach, the pasuk ki mishnes schar socher, then you would say, "Have amina hani mili midaite." Still, you would think that it means only that if the Eved agrees to it voluntarily, then you can do it, and then it comes out that he's working for you double because he's working by day and by night. Avabar kochei. You would still think that maybe it can't be done by kocha. You still can't force him to do it. So kamash malan. Therefore, the word loy tells us that you can do it even by kocha. Tosfos says, now you do have the whole concept of the shifcha knanis for the Eved Ivri. We learn from a different pasuk. Ima donav yitin loy isha. So therefore, so uh, So don't we already know from there that it, that so don't we already know from there the basic concept that he could? Still, Tosfos says you would have thought that maybe it means so maybe Im Adonav Yitin Laisha is establishing that he could do it, and Kim Mishnah Schar Socher Avod Chosheh Shonim is not coming to tell us that he can force him to do it. It's rather like we learned yesterday, it's to make the Odin feel better. Don't feel bad. You have to let this Eved go after 6 years and give him a Hanukkah, because consider how hard he worked for you. So only because, so we would have thought that it's not actually adding anything as far as the Derasha. So no, we're saying that it's adding actually that key Mishnah Schar Socher is adding that you can do it Baal Korcha, that you can force him to accept the Shivcha Knanis even Baal Korcha. But not that the word Loi should be Mamayit, that it's only for one kind of Eved. So therefore, so again, having gone through all of those, then we see in each case, Tanakama finds a mute to say that this din should apply only to Machru Beistin and not to Moichar Atzmai. And in each case, Rabbi Lazar disagrees. So again, we thought to begin with that that's because the Tanakama does not hold of the Gzeda Shava Socher Socher, and Rabbi Lazar does. And now we're saying in the end, they do both hold of the Gzeda Shava. But since in each case, the Tanakama finds a mute and Rabbi Lazar doesn't hold that that's a mute, then therefore that results in the difference of opinions between them. Okay, so that leaves us then so far. Now, we started the sugya with saying that evidently there must be we assume there must be a Tana who doesn't hold of the Gzeda Shava, Socher, Socher, and we said according to them, then how do we know that an Eved Ivri who sells himself is purchased with money? So having gone through this and showing that at least according to Reb Tavyumi's answer, both the Tanakama and Rabbi Lazar do agree with that Gzeda Shava, then we're still left with who is it that does not hold of that Gzeda Shava, who would therefore need the Vav of the Chisasig to learn it from instead. So the Gemara says, Ela man Tana de la Yalef Socher Socher. So who is the Tana then who does not learn that Gzeda Shava? And the answer is, Hai Tana. It would be the following Tana, the Tanya. We learn in a brisa. Now again, you have a pasuk. This pasuk is talking about regarding the moicher atzmai, where he sells himself because he's poor and he doesn't have what to live on. And the pasuk says so. The pasuk says that when he goes free in Yovel, the shavah mishpachta. The pasuk says he returns to his family. So Amar Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov, Bameh HaKosav Medaber. So what kind of case is the Pasuk talking about saying that he returns to his family in Yovel? Moicher Atzmo, you're talking about where he sold himself. Harei Kvar Omer, you already have a different Pasuk. The previous Pasuk before that says, Ad Shnase Yovel Yabod Imach. He works with you until Yovel. So you don't need to repeat in the next pasuk to say that he goes out in Yovel and returns to his family. The Ibn Nirtza, are you talking about where his ear was pierced? Hare Kvaromu. Then you already have Udiyur in Parshas Bahar, where it says, where it already says Udiyur, the Isha Mishpachta Teshuvu, each person returns to his family. So we know also that he returns in Yovel. So what is the case? So what is the case that we wouldn't have otherwise known where the Torah needs to add the yotz b'shnasa yovel b'shava mishpachtoi that he goes out in yovel and returns to his family? We seem to have covered all the cases. Says Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Ella ha ena kosa medaber ella b'machruah based in shtayim v'shalosh shonim lifnei yovel. Necessarily, therefore, the pasuk has to be talking about a case where based in sold him, but it was only 2 or 3 years before yovel. Shai yovel metziyoi, and the chiddush is that yovel takes that yovel takes him out. So in other words, so far we know if he was sold for 6 years and then his ear was pierced, then he goes free in Yovel. We also know that a Moicher Atzmai goes free if Yovel comes. So now we're saying even Machru Beistin, even though 6 years aren't up yet, but because Yovel has come, then he goes free. The Shita Lanoid Lami points out. Now, the context of this pasuk is talking about Moicher Atzmai. However, since we don't need it for Moicher Atzmai, because it's clear from the earlier Pesukim that he goes free in Yovel, then therefore it's one of those kinds of things. We say in Lazet, since we can't apply it to the Moicher Atzmai, we have to apply it to Machruel based. Anyway, the point is, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is saying that you need a special pasuk to tell us that even the Moicher Atzmai goes free in Yovel, even if 6 years aren't up yet. Now, if you were to tell me that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov holds of this Gzeirah Shavah, lomeli, then why would we need an extra pasuk to teach us this din? Nelef Socher Socher. All we need to do is learn from the Gzeirah Shavah of Socher Socher, and we would know that whatever applies to Machruel based din also applies to Moicher Atzmai and vice versa. Since by Moicher Atzmai it says that he goes free in Yovel, meaning even if 6 years aren't up yet, automatically the same would apply to Machruel based din. The fact that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov does not learn from that Gzeirah Shavah, and instead he needs the pasuk v'yotze me'imach v'shavah mishpachtoi, shows apparently that he doesn't hold of the Gzeirah Shavah. So there you go then. If he doesn't hold of the Gzeirah Shavah, then he would be the Tana who would say that it's not that since we don't have the Gzeirah Shavah, he can't learn that he can't learn that Machruel based in is sold with money, and therefore we need the case where he sells himself. Yeah, how do we know that he can be bought with money since we don't have the Gzeirah Shavah Socher? Instead, we would have to use the Vav of V'chi Sasi. So there we go. It seems like we found our Tana. But again, the Gemara says, not necessarily. Omer of Nachman Yitzchak La'olam Yalef Socher. We could, after all, say that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov does learn the Gzeirah Shavah Socher. V'itzturich, still, even according to him, the Gzeirah Shavah is not enough, and we do need another Pasuk to tell us that when Machruel based and he goes free in Yovel, because Sakra and Chamina, otherwise we would have thought you can't necessarily equate them. Moicher Atzmo, who Deloy Ovid Isura. You know why? Moicher Atzmo goes free in Yovel, even if 6 years hasn't passed, because he hasn't done an Isu. He didn't steal anything. And now later on in the Perek, we're going to talk about he may have done some other kind of Isur. He may have been over on Shmita or something, which is what brought him down to this reduced state. Nevertheless, though, he didn't directly do an Isur of stealing, which therefore Beis Din had to sell him. So therefore, we would say the Torah gives him a break and he goes free when Yovel comes, even if 6 years aren't up yet. Ava Machruel based in the Ovid Isura, but when based in sold him, where he did an Isur that he stole, and it's because of that directly that he was sold. So maybe he doesn't go free in Yovel, Kamash Malon, and therefore the Pasuk would have to tell us an extra thing that nevertheless he does go free in Yovel. Now, Marsha points out, based on Tosfos Yeshanim, that you have the flip side of it. You can't say that you should learn it by Gzeirah Shavah from one to the other, because we could also slog up that Gzeirah Shavah and say, on the other hand, because he sold Baal Korchai, therefore the Torah gives him an extra way to get out, namely by Yovel. But maybe that wouldn't apply to Moicher Atzmai, where he sold himself. So in other words, we couldn't learn one from the other, because on the one hand, the Machruel based in has a disadvantage because he did an Avera. On the other hand, he has an advantage because the fact he's being sold by Korcha, maybe the Torah wants to give him an extra break. So therefore, we need to be told individually by each one of them. And even if Rav Elazar ben Yaakov holds of the Gzeirah Shavah, we still need to be told individually by each one of them that it would work, that he goes free in Yovel, even if 6 years haven't passed yet. So Eman Niknase, we would have thought to penalize him, Kamash Malan, and therefore we're being told that not. Now, in the previous Braisa, we took it as a given that a Nirtza, that an Eved whose ear was pierced, goes free in Yovel. So let's figure out, where do we know that from? Where exactly does the Pasuk say that a Nirtza goes free in Yovel? So like this, the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, when the Pasuk says in Parashas Bahar, v'shavtem isha lachuzase v'isha mishpachta v'goymer, each person returns to his inheritance and to his family in Yovel year. So Bameha Kosim Medaber. So we have to ask, what scenario is the pasuk talking about? You're talking about one who sells himself. Well, we already have the pasuk that we quoted before. Ad shnasa yovel yavad imach. And if you're talking about we're based in Soldom, then it already says by where it said the next pasuk v'shova mishpachta, as we just explained, that those two psukim back to back. One is talking about Mocher Atzmai, and one's talking about Machru Beistin. Ha Eina Kosev El Medaber El Benirza Shtayim V'Shalosh Shonim V'Fnai Yovel. So the Pasuk V'Shabtim Ishalach V'Zasei must be referring to the one whose ear was pierced 2 or 3 years before Yovel. Shai Yovel Metziyei. Even then, Yovel makes him go free. So even though the Pasuk says on him Va'avodei La'olam, nevertheless, it means that as soon as Yovel comes, he goes free. So the Gemara says, "My mashma, where exactly do we see from the words v'shabtim ishalach uzasai that it should refer to the nirtza? Given that we have three different psukim, why are we saying that v'shabtim isha mishpachtoi refers to the nirtza, and the other psukim refer to where he wasn't nirtza and he was machruel based in umoicha atzmai?" So the Rashba explains that there's not really a nafka minna, and if we were to learn the psukim in a different way, it wouldn't necessarily make a difference. But the question is, why Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov finds it necessary to learn the psukim this way, dafka? So the answer is Omar Rabba Bar Shila, Omakra Ish, because the pasuk says that a man should return to his family, etc. So ve'ezehu davash noyeg ve'ish ve'in noyeg ve'isha. What din among the dinim of avodim applies specifically to a man and not to a woman? Heviyom azu ritzia. Specifically, you have to say that that's ritzia. That's the piercing the ear, because like we learned yesterday, an omah hevriya never has her ear pierced. So if we have the pasuk v'shabtim ish al mishpachtoi, then we have to say that pasuk is coming to tell us specifically about an ish, namely about the nirtza. So that's why Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov assumes that pasuk is referring to the nirtza. Now Tosfos points out on the face of it, you have another din that applies to a man and not a woman, namely the fact that they're sold by Beis Din. A woman is never sold by Beis Din, because even if a woman steals and she can't afford to pay back, Beis Din doesn't sell her. Instead, she just owes the money. So you could say that maybe the pasuk is talking about that. Tosfos says, fine, but the fact is there is a kind of mechira that applies. There is a kind of thing where a woman is sold against her, or can be even against her will. Namely, in other words, that her father sells her. After all, he doesn't have to ask his daughter, do you want to do this or not? He can sell her regardless of what she thinks. So therefore, so that's similar enough to the way Beis Din sells a ganav regardless of what he thinks. But ritzia doesn't apply at all to a woman. So therefore, we have much more reason to assume that ish amishpachtoi refers to ritzia, which is something where nothing, there's no trace of that, even that happens with a woman, as opposed to machruhu Beis Din, where you have something very similar, namely being sold by her father, that happens to a woman. So fine. So now we need to explain why indeed we need to be told that individually in each of these cases. Now we have to be told this point that he goes free in Yovel both by Machruh Beis Din and by the Nirtza. The Iashmin and Machruh Beis Din, if we were told that this applies only when Beis Din sold him, you would say, Mishum Delamatoi Zimne. You would say, you know why you let him go, even though only 2 or 3 years have passed since he was sold, is because fine, the time has not yet come for him to go free. So in other words, what do we have in Parashas Mishpatim? We have where he says, "Ahavti es Adoni," etc., and I don't want to go free, and he pierces his ear. Here, that time hasn't come yet. He hasn't yet said that he doesn't want to go free. So therefore, you could say that the Torah gives him a break and gives him and tells him that he can go free in Yovel. Avol nirtza dematoi zimne. But when it comes to a nirtza, where after all the time passed, the 6 years passed, and he still refused to go because he says, "I have the esadoni." Eman Niknase. So you would think maybe we should penalize him because how could you be saying Loy Eitze? What do you mean? Why are we piercing your ear? You have the famous thing that that you heard by Har Sinai Loy Signoiv, and you heard Ki Libnei Yisrael Avadim, and you're going and getting an Odin for yourself. So therefore, you deserve to have your ear pierced. And therefore, maybe we would say that we penalize him further, and we say he doesn't even go free by Yovel. So therefore, we need to be told that even he goes free by Yovel. The Iyashmin and Nirtza, on the other hand, if we were told this din only by the Nirtza, you would say, Mishum de Ovid Leishesh. The fact is, he has already worked 6 years. To begin with, when Beis Din sold him, he was sold for a term of 6 years, and Beis Din calculated that the amount that he's being sold for is enough to pay off the gneva that he had stolen. But if they sold him and Yovel comes out during the 6 years, he hasn't even worked 6 whole years yet. You would think maybe he doesn't go free in Yovel. So therefore we need the Torah to tell us in both cases that he goes free in Yovel, whether the 6 years are passed, and therefore so whether he's actually worked off the time that he's supposed to yet, or whether he's being stubborn and saying, I don't want to go free. Either way, he goes free in Yovel. Okay. Furthermore, the Gemara says, V'itzrich l'michtav v'shavtem, V'itzrich l'michtav l'oylam. Now, furthermore, you also need two psukim that tell us about the concept of Yovel having the Eved go free. Namely, we have the pasuk that we quoted, Veshavtem, that everybody returns to their homes and then so forth in Yovel. And you also have the pasuk La'olam, where it says by the Nirtza, Va'avodei La'olam, where we understand that La'olam means La'olamo shel Yovel, doesn't mean forever. Just means until Yovel. Why do we need both those psukim? The e kos of Rachmana la'olam, because if the Torah only told us la'olam, have amin la'olam mamish, you would think it literally means la'olam forever, and until as long as the guy lives. Kos of Rachmana v'shavtem. Therefore, the pasuk says that everybody returns to their homes, implying therefore that so now we know from that la'olam does not mean. That la'olam does not mean literally forever. It means only until olam shel yovel. On the other hand, the e kasa rachmana v'shabdim. But if it only said the pasuk v'shabdim, that everybody goes home in yovel. Have amina hani milid heicha b'loy avad sheish. Again, you would think maybe that applies only where he hasn't yet worked for 6 years. Have a heicha de avad sheish. But maybe if what happens if after he was nirtza, another 6 years have passed. So he was sold 12 or more years before Yovel. He worked for 6 years. Then he says, Ahavdi es Adoni. So they pierce his ear. And now another 6 years have passed. So you would think, Lo yehei sofei chomer mitchilasoi. You would think the end of the second 6 years shouldn't be any more stringent than the beginning. Ma tchilasoi l'sheish af sofei sheish. You would think, therefore, to begin with, when he was sold, he works for a maximum of 6 years. So maybe when his ear is pierced, also he only has to work 6 more years and never more than that. Kamash Malan La'olam. Therefore, the pasuk says La'olam, meaning La'olam Shel Yovel, that it means once his ear is pierced, then he's working until Yovel. So you shouldn't think that he ever gets out earlier than Yovel. Once his ear is pierced, no, he has to wait till Yovel. But we would have thought that Loila means forever, and therefore we have the pasuk v'shavdem to clarify that it means only until Yovel. In other words, the Ritva explains, you would think that the Veshavtem Isha Lachuzase is basically meant to give him a break. Once Yovel comes, he goes free. So you would think that therefore maybe the Torah is also giving him a break by that and saying if more than 6 years have passed since he was Nirtza, he also goes free. So therefore we need the Pasuk Va'avodei La'olam to tell us, which tells us on the contrary, La'olam sounds like a chumrah, that he works forever. So therefore it means that regardless he's working until Yovel. So in other words, in effect, one pasuk is teaching us a kula, and the other is teaching us a chumra, and the combination of them tells us that once he's nirtza, he is working until yovel. But on the other hand, the kula is that if yovel comes, in that as soon as yovel comes, he goes free, whether he was nirtza, whether he was not, whether 6 years have passed, whether or not. So The Eben Ezra, by the way, gives an interesting explanation why. So Taka, why do we assume that Ba'avodah La'olam means until Yovel? Why don't we say that La'olam, or not so much why do we assume? The Gemara is explaining why not, but why is the Torah calling up until Yovel? Why is it calling it by this odd term La'olam rather than just saying Ad HaYovel? So the Eben Ezra gives an interesting explanation that la'olam means the longest possible period of time. Sometimes the word la'olam doesn't mean forever; it just means for the longest possible period of time. And in Torah, the longest period of time that's ever mentioned is a yovel. I mean, you have the longest period of time that has any halachic implications is yovel. So therefore, we understand that la'olam means until yovel. That's how the Eben Ezra explains. So the Ramban gives a different explanation. He says that what it means is it means almost like as if it's a new world when Yovel comes. It's almost like a new world. So therefore, that's what it means when he goes free. It's like as if it's a new world for him. But once he works until Yovel, then in effect, it's as if he worked for a whole world, and now a new world is starting. Okay. So anyway, the point is that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov apparently also accepts the Gzeira Shava of Socher Socher, and the only reason why he says why you need Psukim to tell us that all these various cases all go free in Yovel is because otherwise we would have thought to make a Kabbal Chomer and slog up the Gzeira Shava. By the way, Meforshim point out, I mean, on the face of it, we said before, this Gzeira Shava, Socher Socher, we learned yesterday, is Mufne. It's one of those Gzeira Shavas where we have the words on both sides are available for the Gzeira Shava, and such a Gzeira Shava you can't slog up. But still, they talk about when you have a simple svara like that to distinguish between one and the other, then that can break even such a Gzeira Shava. So therefore, we would have thought that it's only some of them go free in Yovel, and therefore you need extra psukim, but not because he doesn't hold of the Gzeira Shava. So rather, the Gemara says, Ela man tana de the yalif socher socher rebbe. Rather, we can say that the Tana, who doesn't hold of the Gzeira Shava, socher socher, and therefore needs the vav of the chisasig, is going to be rebbe. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, the Pasuk says regarding an Eved Ivri who was sold to a Goy. So the Pasuk describes that his relatives are required to redeem him from the Goy as soon as possible. And the Pasuk continues, the Imlo Yigoel Be'ela. If he's not redeemed with these, then he goes free in Yovel. So what does it mean, Be'ela? Rebbe Omer, Be'ela hu nigo ve'ena nigo v'shesh. It means he's redeemed only if his relatives come and buy him back from the Goy, but he doesn't go free after 6 years like if he had been sold to a yid. Now, why do we need to be told that? Without the Torah telling us that, we would have thought to make a kavah chomer. A person who's sold to an eved ivri, where you don't have the Torah doesn't describe that his relatives free him. The Rashi points out the word vehefta that we learned by an alma hevriya doesn't mean that necessarily that her relatives get involved. It means that she herself earns money and buys her own freedom. And we said that the master deducts from her deducts from the amount that he's going to charge for her. So madach an eved ivri who's sold to a yid, where we don't have this din that he's redeemed by his relatives. Which the Rishonim discussed. Does that mean that they're not able to, or does it mean that they don't have to, or does it mean that they're not able to? It's a machlokas Rishonim. Anyway, nigal b'sheish, yet he goes free with 6 years. So zesh nigal be'ela, the one who is sold to the goy who can be redeemed by his relatives, meaning even if the goy doesn't want to let him go free, he's required to accept the money and let him go free. Ein adin she nigal b'sheish, shouldn't it be a kavah chomer that he also gets freed after six? Therefore, the Torah says be'ela, meaning be'ela hu nigal, he's only redeemed by these, his relatives. The ein nigal b'sheish, he doesn't go free after 6 years, only in Yovel. So Rebbe says, in other words, that we need the word be'ela, because otherwise we would have thought that he does go free after six. Now again, the Isakudadach Yalif Socher Socher, if Rebbe held of the Gzeder Shava of Socher Socher, that equates one kind of Eved Ivri with the other, Amai Ka'omo Mami Shein and Nigob Eila, why would he say that if an Eved Ivri is sold to a Yid, he can't be redeemed by his relatives? Nelef Socher Socher. As a matter of fact, he should learn the Gzeder Shava, Socher Socher. Now, it wouldn't be the exact same Gzeder Shava as we said before. Before, we were trying to compare a Mocher Atzma and Machru Beistin. He would be comparing Mocher Atzma to a Yid and Mocher Atzma to a Goy. Nevertheless, the idea is that there's a known Zeta Shava, Socher Socher, and therefore, if we can't learn it in one way, we would learn it in another way. Sometimes, in fact, the Chachamim only had the Kabbalah that there's a Zeta Shava on two words, Socher Socher in this case, and it's left up to them to determine which word Socher we're learning it from. Anyway, the point is that since he doesn't say that, therefore it shows that he doesn't hold of the Gzeder Shava. However, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Yalef, La'olam Yalef Socher Socher, as a matter of fact, Rebbe does hold of the Gzeder Shava, so therefore he would say that one who is sold to a Yid and one who is sold to a Goy have the same din. V'shayni hocha, de'omakro yigolen nu. Because the Pasuk says, in connection with the one sold to the Goy, that his relative should free him. So in other words, that's a miut. Lozev, loyla acher, so only when he's sold to a goy, not when he's sold to somebody else, namely a yid, that this din wouldn't apply. So again, it's an example of this kind of thing where we're saying that the Gzeder Shava does exist. But on the other hand, there's a miut that tells us don't apply it in this particular case. Okay. So far the Gemara has not actually found any Tana who actually doesn't hold the Gzeder Shava Socher Socher. So far it seems. Every time we found a Machloikas in connection with an Eved Ivri, we've said that both opinions do agree with the Gzeder Shava. So in fact, the Ramban says when we started the sugya and said, what would the opinion that doesn't hold of Socher Socher, how would he learn this din? So the Ramban says, well, the answer is there is nobody. On the other hand, the Ritva says that maybe not. We could say that the Gemara is saying that no, Rabbi Lazman Yaakov, or Rebbe doesn't necessarily hold of that. So it must be that actually we're going to explain the original machlokas we had between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Lazar. We're going to explain it in accordance with that. And we're going to say that the Tanakhama against Rabbi Lazar, or Rabbi Eliezer, according to Tosfos, is going to be the one who doesn't hold of Socher Socher. And again, that has a nafka minna. We said before, as far as do we accept Shibuda de Rav Nosson, where if we say that we don't hold like Rav Tavyumi, then we can say, then we can make it work that the halacha is like Rav Nosson, and yet the halacha is also like the Tanakhama against Rabbi Lazar about what happens with the Hanukka, whether it's given to a Baal Choyv or not. So now the Gemara says, "Uman Tana de Poligale de Rebbe." So which Tana is it that Tosfos, by the way, has a number of discussions on this point that would say Nigo Ba'ela and Nelef Socher Socher. Taka, why don't we use the Vav to learn like that? Once we say V'chi Sasig, and that refers to when he sold to the Goy, then we should say that the Vav tells us that the din about his relatives redeeming him applies when he sold to a Yid as well. So Tosfos says again, because we have a Kavach Chomer would go against that. And Tosfos goes on to discuss various other points within this. The fact is, there is a strong reason to apply this din of being redeemed by the relatives when he's sold to a goy, because you don't want him to assimilate among the goyim. But Tosfos says fine, but it doesn't actually say that in the pasuk, so therefore you can't take away a svara just because of that. But Tosfos goes into a considerable discussion about certain other dinim over here. So the Gemara continues, Uman Tana de Poligale de Rebbe. Which Tana is it that disagrees with Rebbe and says that the relatives can also redeem from an Eved Ivri, can also redeem when an Eved Ivri is sold to a Yid? who disagrees with Rebbe rather, and says that even an Eved Ivri sold to a goy goes free after 6 years. So that would be Rabbi Yosi Aglili, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yosi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva are the ones who disagree with Rebbe on that. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, when the Pasuk says Lo Yigoyel Ba'Eva, that if the Eved Ivri has not been redeemed with these from the goy, then he goes free in Yovel. So when Be'ela, Rabbi Yosi Aglili Omer, Be'ela L'Shichru, it means that if he's redeemed by his relatives, L'Shichru, then it means he's going free. But B'Sh'ar Kol Adam, if anybody else pays for his redemption, L'Shibud, then it means that other person gets to have this Eved Ivri work for him until Yovel. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says the other way around. Be'ela l'shibud, if the relatives buy him back from the goy, then they are entitled to have him work for them as an eved. B'shar kol adam l'shichur, if anybody else has him, if anybody else buys him, then he goes completely free. So both Rabbi Yosi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva are explaining that the be'ela doesn't mean that he's redeemed only, that he can be redeemed only by his relatives. Rather, they're using the word be'ela in a different sense, that it means that there's a difference between relatives and anybody else as far as what happens with him after that. But they both are saying that he goes free, that other than that, he does go free after six. Not like Rebbe, who said that be'ela means that to exclude that he doesn't go free after six only when his relatives redeem him or by Yod. So the Gemara says, my time is the Rabbi Yosi Aglili. So why does Rabbi Yosi Aglili say that if his relatives redeem him, he goes free, and anybody else, then he works for that person? So he says, because Omakra, im lo yigol ba'eva, if he's not redeemed with these, meaning the relatives that are described in a previous pasuk, ela ba'acher, implying that rather he's redeemed by somebody else. So then, v'yotze b'shnasa yovel, then he goes free in yovel, and meaning that he works for that other person till Yovel. So the Pasuk, in other words, is implying the im lo yigol be'ela, if he's not redeemed by his relatives, and the implication is, but he was redeemed by somebody else, then he works for that other person till Yovel. V'Rabbi Akiva, Omer Rabbi Akiva, learns the other way around. Im lo yigol ela be'ela, if he's redeemed only with Ela, only by the relatives, then v'yotz v'shnasa Yovel, and he goes free in Yovel, because then he's working for his relatives until Yovel. But otherwise, if he's redeemed by other people, then he goes free right away. Whereas Rabbi Yosi Aglili would answer to that, midi ela ba'ela ksiv. Why does it say ela ba'ela? There's no ela in the pasuk that you should insert over there and learn the pasuk differently. Therefore, Rabbi Yosi Aglili doesn't want to learn that way. Tosfos brings a different girsa in the Gemara for Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Tosfos brings this girsa midi ella ba'achel ksiv. Doesn't in fact say anything about ella. So Tosfos says that most kisveyad don't have that word, and rather than we understand what Rabbi Yosi Aglili would be saying somewhat differently. We were not that he's saying that it doesn't say be'ela, but he's saying that maybe we would say that only the relatives can redeem him. Other people don't even have the possibility of redeeming him at all. Okay. So either way, Rabbi Yosi Aglili has a valid objection against Rabbi Akiva. So what would Rabbi Akiva answer to that? So rather, Ela Bahai Krokamifli. Rather, we have to say Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosi Aglili are arguing within the following pasuk. The pasuk says about an Eved Ivri who was sold to a goy. Oy doidoy, oy ben doidoy yigalenu. Either his uncle or his cousin should redeem him. So the Gemara interjects, Zeg ulas klovim. That refers to when he's redeemed by his relatives. By the way, Bala Turim on that pasuk points out the word doidoy is the same letters as David. So it's also a hint that we Jewish people are currently like an Eved Ivri sold to a goy, but soon enough there's going to come David, or the doidoy, meaning the same letters as David, or Ben Doidoy, Ben David, Mashiach, and take us out of this golos and take us out of the slavery to the goy. Anyway, so oy doidoy ben doidoy galana zegulas krevim. Then the pasuk continues oy hisiga yadoy, or the pasuk continues he manages to earn money. That means zegulas atzmei. That means where he raises enough money to redeem himself. Then when the pasuk continues v'nigol, and he is redeemed zugulas achirim, that refers to when other people, not relatives, buy him back from the goy. So now If he redeems himself, which is the middle case, of course he's going free. What happens in the other cases? Rabbi Yosi Aglili Sava Mikra Nidrash Lefano. Rabbi Yosi Aglili says, when you're darshaning a pasuk, you learn from it only to the previous thing. So in other words, Shadi Geulas Krovim and Geulas Atzmai. So what do you have? The order is relatives, himself, and other people. So Rabbi Yosi Aglili says it means that you're applying the din of Geulas Atzmai. You're also learning from it, Geulas Krovim. Ma Geulas Atzmai the Shifru. When he buys his own freedom from the guy, of course he's going free. He's not working for anybody else. Therefore, says Rabbi Yosi Aglili, when the relatives also redeem him, it means also they're redeeming him and he goes free rather than working for them. Rabbi Akiva says the other way around, the Geulas Atzmai is meant to teach us about the following case. So therefore, Shodi Geulas Acherim, Geulas Atzmai. So it means we take the case of Geulas Acherim, where other people redeem him, and we apply the din of Geulas Atzmai to that. Ma Geulas Atzmai, the Shichur, just like when he redeems himself, he's going free, Af Geulas Acherim, the Shichur, so also when other people redeem him, and then it means he's going free. So in other words, not a matter of whether we daushin from the word be'ela or not, but rather how are we daushining the order of things, krovim, atzmai, and others, which one, where atzmai, he definitely goes free, which other din that's adjacent to it do we learn? Well, the Gemara asks the hachi be'ela lamali. Well, in that case, then why does the Torah say be'ela altogether? And the answer is Yilav Be'ela, because you could say, if it weren't for the word Be'ela, Hava Amina, Mikra Nidush Ben Lafona Ben Lachrav, then you would think maybe a Daushin in both directions, Va'kol L'Shifra. And it means that in both cases he goes free. The Torah tells us Be'ela to make it clear there's some kind of case where he does not go free, but rather works for the people who bought him. What is that case? There you have Rabbi Yosi Aglili saying it's when others buy him from the guy, and Rabbi Akiva saying when his relatives buy him from the guy. Well, the Gemara says, Yihachi Hodr Kasha L'Duchdei. Well, in that case, we're back to our original question that if we're saying that on the one hand, we would have thought that he goes free in both cases, and because of the word Be'ela, we're saying that not, then we have the question again that Rabbi Yosi Aglili can ask on Rabbi Akiva. It doesn't say Ela Be'ela. So why is Rabbi Akiva learning the way he does? The pasuk seems to go more smoothly according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, that im lo yigol be'ela, if he's not redeemed with these, meaning the relatives who I mentioned before, but rather he's redeemed by others, then he starts working for them and he works until yovel. According to Rabbi Akiva, we have to kvetch the pasuk and say that it means im lo yigal ela be'ela, just the opposite. If he's redeemed only by his relatives, then he works until yovel. But again, where is the ela in the pasuk? Or as Tosfos says, you could say maybe it means that others can't redeem him at all. So no, ela besvara kamifrigi. So rather, the answer is that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosi Aglili are not really arguing about the psukim, about how to douse in the psukim. They're arguing within Svara which one is more logical to say that he continues working until Yovel and which one not. Which means, in other words, Tosva says that in that case, then the fact is Rabbi Akiva said before Be'ela. So he means, in other words, you, Rabbi Yosi Aglili, are saying Be'ela refers to Krovim. I would say Be'ela, on the contrary, means that he's the one, that they're the ones he works for. But so in other words, they both agree the word Be'ela refers to the relatives, but they're arguing what the consequences of that are. And the argument is based on Svara. Rabbi Yosi Aglili saw him establish Geulas Acherim L'Shibur. Rabbi Yosi Aglili says it's more logical if others buy his freedom from the goy, then it should be that he works for them. De'amat L'Shichur, if you're going to say they buy him and he just goes free, have a mimni, like Parkulei, then they're going to hold back. They're not going to want to redeem him. Why should we bother paying good money for him to the goy when he's not even going to work for us? As opposed to the relatives are not going to do that. Rabbi Akiva holds it's more logical that when his relatives buy him, then he works for them. The amit l'shichur, if you're going to say he goes free, then he's going to constantly go and sell himself to a guy, and knowing that his relatives are going to bail him out, So therefore, Rabbi Akiva says it's more of a svara to say. Now, he knows he can't rely on others. He knows he can mostly rely on his relatives. So therefore, we don't want to give him that incentive to go and constantly sell himself and rely on his relatives to bail him out. So therefore, it's more logical that Torah is saying that if they do buy him, then he works for them, and that'll prevent him from doing that. He's not going to go sell himself again and again, because once he does, they buy him back from the goy the first time, then already he's working for them. Okay, so that's the svara between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosef Aglili. So nothing to do with whether. So they both agree, though, that Be'ela refers to the relatives. The point is, though, that both they do disagree with Rebbe, who said that Be'ela is a miut, that when he's sold to a goy, he doesn't go free after 6 years. Rather, they're saying that the Be'ela is a miut, that there's a difference between relatives and somebody else, and there's just a machlokas what the difference is. So the Gemara brings this so far are the opinions of Rabbi Yosef Aglili and Rabbi Akiva on this regard. The Chum say whether the relatives buy him from the goy or whether others buy him from the goy, either way, he always goes free. So the Gemara says, "Man chachamim, who are these chachamim? Rebbe, that would be Rebbe, who we said before, the mapikleila, I be'ela, the drasha achrina. He uses the word be'ela for a different drasha, as we said before, that when he's sold to a goy, he doesn't go free after 6 years, and he holds mikra nidush bein lafana bein laachrav. So he holds that mikra nidush bein lafana bein laachrav. He holds the pasuk can be darshan both before and after. So therefore, again, when we have hisiga yadoi, where he himself earns money and goes free, that's between hisiga yadoi is between oidoidoi and ben doidoi and benigol. So therefore, Rebbe says hisiga yadoi means where he himself earns the money and he goes free, and therefore it applies to both of the cases, both before it, where the relatives buy him back, or afterwards, where others buy him back. Either way, he goes free, just as if he had redeemed himself. So the Gemara asks one last thing, though. What is Rebbe doing with the words v'yotz v'shnasa yovel? Rabbi Yosef Aglili and Rabbi Akiva are using that to tell us that when he was bought by somebody, then he works for them until yovel, according to Rabbi Akiva, the relatives, according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, the others. Then he works for them till yovel, and then he goes free. Rebbe, who holds, he always goes free as soon as they buy him from the goy. So what is he doing with v'yotz v'shnasa yovel? And the answer is Mibola the Chidatanya. Rebbe uses that to teach us what we learn in a Braisa. When it says V'yotz B'shnasa Yovel, means Ba'ovid Kechavim Sheyesh Netachas Yodcha. The Pasuk is referring to a guy who's under your control. So in other words, because it has to be, because otherwise, how is the Eved Ivri going free in Yovel? The guy can say, I don't keep Yovel, why should I have to set him free? So we're obviously talking about a guy who's under Jewish control, meaning in other words, that he's living among Jews, and he's following Jewish law in this regard. So the Torah is telling you, nevertheless, though, don't come against him by kiffin. Don't tell him, therefore, that you know what, we have you over a barrel. We can make you do whatever we want. Therefore, we're going to require you to let the guy go cheaply or to let him go before Yovel, etc. No, you can't do that because you're not allowed to cheat or steal from a goy. Or you could say maybe not. Maybe it means even if the goy is not under your control, and that's when he goes free in Yovel. But if he's under your control, you're allowed to be unfair to the goy and force him to release the Eved before that. Amrit, you would say, can't for him. In that case, if he wasn't tachas yodcha, it would be impossible altogether to force him to let the Eved go in Yovel. Necessarily, therefore, the Pasuk must be talking about a case where the Goy is Tachas Yodcha, he's living under Jewish rule, and nevertheless, the Pasuk is telling you, be careful that you figure out with him honestly how many years there are until Yovel, and only then require him to let the Eved Ivri go, or if you're going to be paying him money, that you pay him a fair amount, how much his work would be worth until Yovel. So therefore, be careful about that. So Rebbe is learning that from the words V'yotz B'shnasa Yovel that we're talking about, that it's teaching us what the scenario is and teaching us this concept that Gezel Goy is also. Okay, so that's that then. So we've established, therefore, on the face of it, it seems everybody holds the Gzeira Shavah Sacher Sacher, although the Ritva says maybe not. And we've established And we've established that that Rebbe disagrees with the other Chachamim about and we've established that Rebbe disagrees with the other with Rabbi Yosef Aglili and Rabbi Akiva about what happens when he's brought back from the Goy, whether he goes to work for this other person or whether he goes free, and that's that. But now we've covered the whole thing of Kinyan Kesef, of an Eved Ivri, and then we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, with dealing with the other methods of Kinyan of an Eved Ivri.